grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
From down the line, via phone.
Hello.
G'day, mate. How's
Good
it going?
Good afternoon. Very well. Very well. Calling from a very wet and windy Waihee in the Waikato.
Very similar to up here then.
Ah, well, there you go. Nothing special in my neck of the woods then, damn it. but, hey, big news. And, of course, in the context of the vote in New Zealand on the referendum being, you know, so close and people jumping in and saying it's lost, but we're waiting for these final count tomorrow. But in that context, what's just happened in America, and, of course, you know, although we don't quite know who the president's going to be, although it's looking a bit clearer towards Biden now, perhaps, than it was 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
But every single marijuana ballot put forward to the voters in America has passed, every single one.
Okay.
So another five states have joined the list of states where it's legal for adult use, and those being Arizona, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, South Dakota.
Mm.
And as people may have thought, well, Mississippi and South Dakota, you know, that's pretty unusual. These are conservative
Bible-y areas.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. But, you know, not a single ballot failed. There was another couple of ballots that did medical cannabis, and there was another couple that did decrim.
Mm.
And in fact, a couple of states, Oregon has now decriminalized use of all drugs
of
the other ballots
everything.
That they put forward.
So many places I want to go to in America now.
Mm, Oregon, for sure.
Washington, D.C., you know, the seat of government in America, Washington, D.C., has just legalized psilocybin and other psychedelic therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is in the very same electorate where people are voting for Trump or Biden, or, you know, the very same election, sorry.
Mm.
So the voters of Washington, D.C., you know, you'd think the most political out of anywhere in America.
Yeah.
And they have just voted overwhelmingly to legalize psychedelic therapy.
Chris, just on all the cannabis stuff over there, all the places that have voted positively, was there a big no campaign at all? Do we know over there, or like there was here?
Yeah, mate, it's run by the same people.
Right,
This is part of the kind of odd thing that's been going on. Project Sam.
Did you swear?
And they're linked to evangelical churches in America, and they use this piece of software called Project Glue that is described as Cambridge Analytica on steroids, and it's used to track every single person in America and what their values and things are. And they originally designed this so that they could go and approach people about joining their churches or finding new churches. And
right.
What apparently, so it's been reported, is that the founders of Project Sam are heavily invested in opioid-based recovery centers.
Okay.
And apparently they view medical cannabis as a threat to their business.
Yep.
And apparently this is what was behind them founding Project Sam and opposing cannabis reform in every state where it's put forward. And then when our referendum was mooted as an idea, lo and behold, they turn up in New Zealand. And lo and behold, you know, very closely associated with a fundamentalist outfit called Family First, and who really did seem to do very well for keeping under their spending cap. And I've raised this before on the show. I frankly just don't believe it, and I would really like to see some audited accounts from them, because they are a charity. And other people aren't calling themselves charities. Family First are calling themselves a charity and getting tax-exempt status for that while they go around interfering and meddling in elections and using these American lobbyists, you know, to run their campaign here. So, you know, I think they've got a bunch of questions to answer. But it is just really interesting that our one was just so tight, and these American ones, every single one has passed. Every single one passed by overwhelming majorities. You know, not just scraping by, but really romping home.
It must be the freedom, the freedom part of America, that everyone wants their rights. Yeah,
there's a bit of that, yeah. But partly too, it's that But like, if you look at the process of how we got to our referendum, you know, it was a coalition deal that the Greens didn't really want, but it was offered to them as the only pathway for cannabis law reform, and that's because New Zealand First was blocking any other thing. And so this was the only option that they were allowed to go with, so they seized it. And where was I going with that? I've lost my train of thought. Bloody hell!
Well, what's the way? What's the way forward?
But anyway, that's where I was going. It was a top-down, right? So you had the government actually saying you're going to do a referendum and kind of telling us, or you're going to campaign for it. We're going to make you do this referendum, and then the government designed a bill, and which you know, as I've said on the show before, I think it was the best designed cannabis model, you know, of legalization that's ever been produced anywhere in the world. I really do think that. I think they did an incredible job. But what became quite apparent to me about a year ago was that that model was not actually designed to win a referendum or to win an election. It was designed by officials to be technically the best, and it is. But it's so complicated and so hard to understand that it just wasn't the right model to put forward for a referendum. I think what they've done in America is, A, they put kind of simpler models where it's easier to campaign around, and they really put, you know, a lot of benefits up front for the voting public, not just saying this is about cannabis consumers doing what they want, but they really make sure that the law benefits everyone.
I guess they're seeing, they can see other states that are doing it as well, you know, like, so they've seen it sort of happening. It's not like they're breaking new ground or anything, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's exactly it. It's a great point there, Hungary, because I was just about to say that. And that's they've seen all this go on in other states, but they've also, they tend to get medical cannabis first, and the medical cannabis is around for a few years, and then everyone realizes, this medical, it's not helping everyone, it's expensive, it's hard to get, so we need to make it legal for everyone, if only just to help the medical patients. And here in New Zealand, we didn't get to have that. Now, I'm involved in the medical cannabis scheme. I have a license to cultivate medical cannabis legally. But I can tell you, it's going to stay expensive and it's going to be hard to get. And that's just the reality of it. But that kind of just sounds like my opinion. And we haven't had a chance for everyone to actually see that.
Is it getting like a medical sort of ticket, whatever, for whatever reason, just so I've got it on my persons in general, and then I just go about my regular cannabis life? Is that kind of a bonus to have that if it came to, like,
I wouldn't ever say if you're not medical then you know, lie to your doctor and get it through duplicitous means, but if you are using it therapeutically, and even if you think you wouldn't qualify under the scheme, or even if you think the products are too expensive and you can't afford them, go get your prescription anyway.
Unless you're on the books.
And even if you never get the product and you stay illicit, just having that prescription will introduce enough kind of doubt and questions in any police officer's mind. And given that we had that decrim last year, that hasn't really worked in terms of benefiting the people who often get arrested, which is Māori and young males, and it really hasn't worked. The police are exercising their discretion by continuing to bust Māori people in racist ways.
A lot of human error.
But you know, for everyone else, or certainly for medical patients, if you have that on you, then a police officer that comes across you is going to check that part of the Misuse of Drugs Act that says they should only proceed with a prosecution if it's in the public interest.
Right.
And if you've got your prescription, it'd be very hard to justify public interest there, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't have that on you, then who knows? It's just up to them.
Hey, now, Chris, final referendum results coming in tomorrow. How you feeling?
Yes. Oh, well, I'm feeling like we're definitely going to go up. The question is going to be, do we go up by enough? Now, with the special votes are still to come. The special vote's interesting because it's people that enrolled late, it's people that enrolled on the day, it's people who vote overseas, people who are living overseas, people who voted outside their electorate, so you're enrolled in one place and then you vote in another. That often tends to be people who are renting and moving around.
Right.
And it's also prisoners this year. So there's a bunch of reasons why we could think, well, we're probably likely to get a pretty good response among all of those groups.
How much is the prisoner vote? How many people is that?
Prisoners, there's around 9 or 10,000 people in prison, but it's limited to people who are going to come out in the next term, so they've been sentenced for less than 3 years and are going to come out. So I think that's about half the prison population or something like that. So, you know, it's a few thousand, but we're about something like 160,000 behind. There's about 500,000 special votes to come. There could be more, there could be slightly less. So depending on that amount, we're going to have to win it by about 67% in order to carry the referendum. However, and I think we discussed this last week, either way, it's going to be close. We're either going to just pass or just not pass, but either way, it's close. And when you think about it from a drug policy point of view, we don't really want a policy that is really close and only 50% of the country support. You actually want a policy that 70, 80% or 100% support, right? So what that's saying to me is that the model that was put forward at this moment in time is a bit too progressive for the middle New Zealand, and that perhaps we need to compromise a little bit and listen to the concerns that people were saying, build that into a new model. Mm-hmm. This is assuming if the referendum doesn't pass, then that bill, according to the government, will not be introduced. But that doesn't mean other things can't happen. So a new model that is a bit more centrist and that is more broadly supported, and maybe it's staged where things could happen further down the track.
Do you feel like the government will have the motivation to do that?
Yeah, I think they do. I think we have Andrew Little, although he was very quick to say Vikram was off the agenda, and we were very disappointed by that. Mm. And I still don't get his rationale, because I had him up on Twitter about it, and he did reply, and he was just kind of saying a referendum's a referendum, and the rules are the rules. And so, well, no one's asking you to change the rules, but what he's done is he's gone even further ahead. Like, we have a 50-50, very close result in this referendum. The country is split down the middle, and he's saying that's a mandate to do nothing. Mm. And that is an exact quote from him. And it's not a mandate to do nothing. It's actually a mandate to find a new way forward.
It's troubling. It's troubling because
more broadly supported.
He's the health minister now, isn't he?
Yes, so exactly. This is where some of the Misuse of Drugs Act is officially a Help Act. Though it's administered by the police. So something as the Minister of Health, he could potentially say, well, we're actually going to make this act administered by doctors and health professionals, and it's actually not any role of the police at all to do with any of this.
I fell out of love with Andrew Little when he took the glasses off. I like him better with the glasses on. That was a long time ago. I've never never really vibed with him since he's taken the glasses off. I'm more of a Clark Kent type of guy, I guess. But it is what it is.
Yeah. But certainly, I think there's a lot of appetite for reform in the government. It's just, you know, politics come into it, and no one wants to be seen to be going against a referendum, even if it is very close. But I think there is actually a strong mandate for doing something. It's the opposite to what Andrew Little was saying. The mandate is actually to do something. We have 50%, roughly, saying that they have voted for the world's most progressive form of legalization, and a full half the country voted for that. And of the other half that didn't, a whole bunch of them, and I know people who voted against it, even, you know, they didn't like that particular version of the bill, and so they voted against it. And the referendum question was, do you support this bill? It wasn't, do you want prohibition to be ended, or do you think cannabis should be decriminalized or legalized? Do you support this bill? And so that's, if anything, that's all we can really take from the referendum result, is do people like that particular bill or not?
Wow, it's like asking if I like reading or not, you know? Fuck, it's a lot to read.
It's asking if you like a particular book or not, and rather than do you like reading. And so you might say, well, I don't like
synopsis,
that book. That doesn't mean you don't like reading.
Now, Chris, time frames. Do you think you could take a punt and guess what sort of time frame it'll be before we see some change? Because everyone's got an appetite for change.
Well, we're just going to keep banging on the door, isn't it?
In the near future? Any time at all?
Absolutely. Well, okay, so the two scenarios, right? We win tomorrow, we get enough votes that push us over the 50%, it's 50.1, the bill gets introduced. I think you'd see that being introduced as a priority. It would happen this side of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And in the first half of next year, we'd be doing select committee work and introducing changes to the bill. And I think, as I said, I'm just saying this because it seems like we might lose. But even if we win, that bill needs to be compromised so that more people support it. And likewise, if we lose, well, we're going to lose by like 49-51 or something. And so likewise, the NOPAs need to compromise and concede that half the country, or almost half the country, wants really significant reform. So even under a no scenario, I think the government is probably going to do some things that might not be specifically about cannabis, but they would greatly impact cannabis. And so, for example, revisiting the Law Commission's recommendations around the Misuse of Drugs Act that came out way back in 2011, it started under Helen Clark's last year as Prime Minister, and then it came in under National, who promptly ignored all of it, and there's a whole bunch of really good recommendations that have never been acted on because we've had a national government in this whole time. So now that Labor are back in, well, okay, that report is 7 years old, but oh well, you know, or 11 years old, no, 9 years old, actually, go in the middle. But it's still got, you know, it's about the Misuse of Drugs Act, and that hasn't been changed. None of these recommendations have been acted on. One of the things they said was, let's get rid of the presumption of supply. And that presumption is that if you're caught with something, you're deemed to be guilty, even with no evidence presented. And this, of course, breaches our Bill of Rights. Our Supreme Court in New Zealand has said that and have called on the government to revoke it. But, of course, our Supreme Court is fairly toothless. It doesn't just strike down laws. It just says, hey, guys, there's a bit of a problem here. And Parliament needs to actually listen to the court and actually strike that down. Mm. So that's the presumption of supply. And then you also have the reverse burden of proof, which is another breach of the Bill of Rights. And in particular, one of the things the Law Commission was looking at was social supply, which is people sorting out their friends for no particular financial gain, and that shouldn't be treated like a gangster dealer. Yeah, well, a lot of people do it, right? And a lot of friends, they don't know the dealer directly, and they have to go through someone. So that's the reality of it. And they're saying, well, there's no financial motive, or, you know, these people aren't like super hard crumbs. They're just helping out their mate.
Oh, so look, I take a nugget out, you know, just for...
Oh, well, there you go.
Small financial gain for myself. Okay, Chris, we should probably...
I don't call that financial gain.
Chris, we should...
And another thing would be looking at...
You go.
Oh, I was going to say another thing would be looking at utensils, and again, that's something the Law Commission looked at, and at the moment they're punishable by up to a year in prison, even though you have stores, even like my own, like the hemp store, openly selling them, so you get this impression that it's all legal, you come in and buy it, and then out on the street you can be thrown in jail for a year for that. And what's even worse about that particular charge is that it's written up on your criminal record as possession of a needle or syringe, even though you had a bong or a little pipe. That is what will be on your record, possession of a needle or syringe.
Heavy.
So again, the Law Commission said, what is this even an offence for? This just shouldn't even be an offence. Just make them legal, just completely. So I think we could really see some changes around there, and that's not specific to cannabis, and actually has nothing to do with the referendum. It's just revisiting the Law Commission's stuff from all that time ago.
You had to ask him, didn't you, John?
I did. Now, Chris, are you a fan of Hits from the Bong by Cypress Hill?
We're just going to play it. I don't know. We really don't have time anymore.
Of course, it's a classic.
Okay, mate, onwards and upwards. We'll hope for the best, and we'll catch you next Thursday,
right,
no doubt.
You just wait for 2 o'clock tomorrow. If we win, I think you'll see Hits from the Bong leap to the top of the Spotify streaming chart, I would say. But I'd say there'll be at least 1 million houses around New Zealand that will be playing that song.
Yeah. Kia ora, mate.
Nice. See ya.
Toodles.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with marijuana.